This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
The Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Nothing is impossible when you get the glory of God on the scene. See, the Lord told Martha, remember when, even when Lazarus died, Martha said, Lord, if you had been here 4 days ago, my brother wouldn't have died. And then Jesus said, your brother shall rise again. And then Martha said, I know that he'll rise again in the last day. And then Jesus said, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He said, Lord, yes, I believe. And then if you keep reading in John chapter 11, you'll see that Jesus came to the tomb, and there he wept. Then Jesus, after he cried, he said, roll away the stone. Boy, I read that and I said, that sound like the resurrection. That sound like Jesus, don't it? That sound like when they had a stone up over his tomb. And an angel come and roll the stone away. And when he said, roll back the stone, show me where you've laid him. Then Martha said, Lord, it's been 4 days. By now he's stinking. And then he said this, didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? So you can see the glory of God when you believe. Some people say, show me the glory and I'll believe. I say, no, believe and he will show you. Believe and he'll show you. Didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? That's God manifesting who he is, his presence, his power, and his goodness. Hallelujah. And the good news that I have for you tonight is that you have been qualified for all three. You've been qualified to receive the goodness of God. You've been qualified to have his presence in your life 24/7. You've been qualified to have his power work in you and through you. I've had his power working in me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I've had his power working through me too. Because he set me free from all kinds of stuff. You should never be ashamed to say what you've been set free from. Because you don't know how many people might be struggling what you've already been delivered from. But thank God, amen, that we all been set free in Christ Jesus. So I want everybody, I want this church, everybody in here, I want you to start praying and saying, God, show me your glory. And then don't let the devil disqualify you for it. He'll say, the Lord ain't going to help you. The Lord ain't going to use his power on your behalf. You too bad. You ain't going to see no goodness. Why God ain't going to be good to you? Everybody, look at your neighbor and say, I've been qualified for the glory. Amen. That means that you're qualified to receive something from God. You're qualified to receive your inheritance from God. You're qualified for it. And nobody can disqualify you. Because the only way you could be disqualified for it, Jesus would have had to snatch his blood away and undo what he did, but he ain't undoing it. He's not going to undo what he did. Let me tell you, I like to say it this way. Let me tell you, God won't change what he did, and the devil can't change it. God said, I ain't changing, and the devil can't change it. Everybody say, I'm qualified. Glory to God. See, the devil's in the business of disqualifying people. I remember listening to Joseph Prince one morning. He's teaching on reasons why people don't get healed. And he said that the more he taught on it, the longer his list was getting. You know, you keep coming up with reasons why people not getting healed. He said, you know, he started out, he had 10 reasons why you won't get healed. And we know that there are roadblocks to healing. We're not minimizing that. But then he said, then I got on, he said, then my list went to 12. I found out two more reasons why people fail to receive. And he said, and one day while he was teaching on that, the Lord told him, said, stop disqualifying my people. We really need to just look at not all the things that's hindering us from receiving. We really just need to set our eyes on Jesus and look at what he provided and just go ahead and take it. And if you have a relationship and fellowship with the Lord, then you won't be involved in all these other things that disqualify you. If you'll just be a doer of the word. If you'll be a doer of the word, you're going to walk in love. Then unforgiveness can't stop you. If you ain't walking in unforgiveness, then it can't stop you. If you're walking in love, then I'm going to tell you the floodgates open. Really, everything's really rolled up into one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And Jesus modified the second one. He said, love one another as I loved you. That's to the church. He gave church a command. New one I'm giving to y'all. That's what he said. I'm going to give you a new command. You love everybody like I done loved you. So that's telling you right there that he's expecting his children to have an experience with him that other people really can't identify with. So we're to love one another like he loved us, because I know how he done loved me. Now I know how I'm supposed to love you. He's forgiven me all my sins. That's how he loved me. He didn't condemn me, so I know I ain't supposed to be walking around condemning other people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody say it again. Show me your glory. All right. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go to Colossians chapter 1. All you young people here, say it. Say, I'm qualified for the glory. Go ahead, each one. Say, God's qualified me. Say it. Okay. Because you know what? If you don't know God done qualified you, then you're going to disqualify yourself. How many people have disqualified themselves? Say, well, I ain't worthy. I messed up the other day. I didn't do right last week. I got these problems in my life. God can't help me. God ain't going to help me. I'm just unworthy. The devil put those thoughts in your mind, and you end up condemning yourself. And you end up talking yourself out of God's blessing and talking yourself out of your inheritance. That's why you had to watch what you say. All right, now listen to this right here. Now, all of this is real good, but I want to focus on verse number 12. Giving thanks unto the Father who have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Remember last week I talked to y'all about light? How many of y'all was here last week we're going to talk about light? Who wasn't here last week we're going to talk about light? It was a few of y'all wasn't here. Right, I'm going to do a quick demonstration right now. Turn all the lights off in here. All right, now how many of y'all got cell phones? Hold them up. All right, now. Everybody's got a cell phone, has some light. Now, think about this. As a believer, just imagine that each one of these cell phones here, with the light coming from a cell phone, represents a believer. You see that? Now, you see, believers have been planted in this world of darkness. If I want to be able to read or to see clear, what do I need to do? I got to come to somebody that's got the light. right? Because why? I'll be able to what? I'll be able to see better. I'll be able to determine where I'm going a lot better. So sometimes teenagers, when you're in the world, when you're out there in your own, at school, sometimes you're in a dark place. That means that you're around other teenagers who don't have the light. And you're the light, but you might be the only one on your row. See, I don't see but one light on this row. You might be in a class, you're the only light there. What you supposed to do? You ain't supposed to turn your cell phone off, because then you're going to do what? You're going to be dark like the rest of them. Right? So if you're there, you're the only one there, you need to let, you say, Lord, let me shine brighter. Right? You shouldn't be ashamed that you got the light. Right? Because you can see better than everybody else. But if everybody on this row start talking about you, what you doing with that cell phone on? Turn that thing off. You putting too much light out. And they make you feel guilty because you got the light and they don't. And you start feeling condemned and unworthy to have it and turn it off like you did. Then you're going to be just like the rest of them, walking in darkness. So what you supposed to do? Keep your light on. Make it brighter. Make it brighter. But your light is big because it's Christ. And so what you need to do is start winning those other friends that you got, or at least being the light and not being ashamed of it. Because God has qualified you to be blessed. Hallelujah. Giving thanks unto the Father who have made us meet. That word meet means that he has made us fit. He has qualified us. Or that he has made us ready. Now, if God did that, who gonna undo it? It's just like this here. You can be qualified for a lot of stuff that you don't even participate in. Because if you don't know you've been qualified, then there's no way you're gonna step up to the plate and begin to access what you've been qualified for. So that's why we come to church. I'm finding out what I'm qualified for. I'm finding out what my inheritance is so that I can start receiving. And the more I receive from God, the more that I receive of what Christ did for me, then the light, the brighter my light gets on the inside. The scripture says, let your light so shine before men. See, before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So we really need to be thinking about what can I do to glorify my Father? Well, the first thing you do is just start receiving from him what he's already given to you. I can't properly glorify him unless I start receiving from him. Because what I receive from him is going to change my life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He have made us ready to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints who live in the light. In other words, you've been qualified to receive everything that Jesus died to give.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
May I have your attention?
The best of the old. The best of the new. The best variety in music.
Man, a great variety of music.
Different music.
Tons of music.
Awesome.
On.
Online anytime. 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
God bless you as we go to the Word of the Lord. Turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 26, and the A portion of that verse. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh for this wonderful opportunity to hear from you. Speak to our hearts, minister to us right where we are, and lift us from this place to the place you would have us to be. Give us understanding and illumination about your word. And then give us the power to practice the principles that we shall learn from your word. That when we practice them, we shall profit from them. And be ever so careful to give you all praise. Now we thank you in advance for what you've chosen to say to us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. From the book of Acts, chapter 26, and the A portion of verse 2, it simply says, I think myself happy. You may be seated. I think myself happy. Say that with me if you're not mad this morning. I think myself happy. One more time. I think myself happy. Happy. Now give the Lord a hand of praise in this house. What an interesting, fascinating word we have before us today that Paul is speaking to the believers' faith and challenging us in trying times and gives us a helpful, holy hint as how to handle the issues of life in such a way that regardless of where we physically find ourselves in and at, we are able with the ability to use the faculties of our thought processes, lift ourselves up above and beyond whatever we're going through. Paul says, I think myself happy. Loaded is this expression, explosive and powerful is this phrase. I think myself happy. I mean, just right off the bat, what Paul says, it really doesn't matter what you think. I think myself happy.
And may I say to you, my brothers and sisters, there will be experiences in this life when you're going to have to depend on you, nobody but you, and you can't always think that other folk will think the best for you. Sometimes you've got to all by yourself think yourself happy. Sometimes you have to encourage yourself in the Lord. You can't expect others to always lift you to a better place than where you are. For those of you who don't know the story, it would do you well to read chapters 25 and 26, and you'll discover Paul is being charged with many things according to the Jews, and he is preparing himself for the greatest trial of his life. And one of the interesting things about this is that Paul has a unique perspective concerning the issues and the trials that he is enduring and about to endure. And this is what I wanted to share with you. Not so much the whole historical account of the story. It'll do you well to read it so that you'll understand it and understand all that Paul went through. But here is the premise that I want you to gather and to gain today from this word. No matter what your greatest trials, your greatest tribulations, your greatest situations are, you've got to know that you have the ability to rise above them according to your faith. You've got to understand, it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it feels like. It doesn't matter what you're going through or where your present position may be. You've got the ability to think yourself happy. Notice this is the same Paul that said, I found in whatsoever state I am in therewith to be content. This is a man who understands the challenges of life and realizes that every day down here is not going to be a day filled with joy and happiness because of the happenings of this world. But when he looks from the inside out rather than from the outside in, that there is a difference in what he sees. You see, you can choose to see the glass half empty, or you can choose to see the glass half full. It depends on what you think. What are some of the things that cause your mental faculty to work in your favor? How do you get the ability to be able to reason, to consider? Because this word think in several translations is translated as consider. I consider. Some translations translate the word reckon. I reckon. So it would read for consider, I consider myself happy. But also, those who use the word consider also use one of the other words for happy. Happy is also translated as privileged, as fortunate, as blessed. So they would say, I consider myself fortunate, or I consider myself blessed, or I consider myself, as he goes on and says again these words, privileged. And so it's important to recognize that whether he says I reckon myself privileged, blessed, or fortunate, what he's still saying is it's the way I look at the situation and not necessarily the way the situation looks at me. You see, my brothers and sisters, what a powerful principle for us to learn, that you are not handicapped or in bondage to what somebody else thinks about you or your situation.
What really matters is what you think about your situation. And so listen at this, because I want you to understand, all of these charges are brought up against Paul from the Jews. His life is at stake. If they had their way, Paul would have been dead already. But under Roman law, they didn't have the right to kill a citizen of Jewish descent. If that was going to be done, the Romans had to give them permission to do so. So they had to bring it to a Roman court. They had to also understand that they had to give themselves away or yield themselves to the Roman rule. So they are brought before Agrippa, the charges against Paul. And so Paul in chapter 25, has all of these charges against him. And in 26, in verse 1, Agrippa, the king, allows Paul to speak for himself. Now, listen at this. Paul considers it a privilege to be able to speak for himself. I think, my brothers and sisters, when you get the revelation of this, sometime a lawyer who's necessary in a courtroom can't tell it like you can tell it. And Paul didn't want anybody else to tell his story like he could tell his story. So his appeal was that he would be able to speak for himself. So King Agrippa says, you are permitted to speak. Now, notice Paul's action. See, you'd almost have to know the custom and times of presenters and great orators of that day. When a great presenter would begin his oration, he would lift up the hand to draw attention to the words that were getting ready to come out of his mouth. And folk looked at him because he took a stand of prominence and dignity and sophistication and intelligence. And Paul threw the hand up even though he had shackles on it. In essence, he was saying, don't let the shackles fool you. I've got something to say. And so Paul says, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee. Listen at this. Touching all of the things whereof I'm accused of the Jews. Now listen at him now. He stands not in weakness and timidity, but he stands in boldness and authority. And then he gives respect to King Agrippa, and he calls the fact that Agrippa had knowledge of the Jewish laws and principles, the cultures and questions, as well as the Roman laws. And if there was anybody worthy to judge him, it would be King Agrippa. So he sets everything in order and he begins his dialogue or monologue. And at that point, he goes through a litany of those charges that were made against him. Now, I don't want to get off into all of that because that's not really, again, my point this morning. My point was, look at the position he's in. What makes that special to us today is that all of the things that we go through, all of the difficult moments of our lives, every one of us will have trials, tribulations, situations. The Bible says, in this life, this world, ye shall have tribulations. Then he's already gone on and said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. So in understanding this, this is a helpful holy hint for you when you go through your trial.
Remember, Paul is preparing for the greatest trial of his life, and